The next big thing from Mercedes-Benz invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Angus Sampson.
It may be a public holiday in some parts of the country, but it's not here at the Get This desk. What's going on with our sponsors, Ed?
Big things are in.
The next big thing. What's all that about?
So shocked. I thought, is this my program? Is that Tony? Is it on James Valentine's program somehow?
We might have to get out the brochures. Angus Sampson is here.
Good morning, boys.
How did you get off the set of that movie?
So happy.
It's Yom Kippur today.
Is it?
Yes.
Always celebrated here at Triple M and at KOFM in Newcastle.
Ding.
I managed to pull some religious stuff and got the day off. So thank you very much for having me in.
Couldn't be happier. I've got some Arnold Schwarzenegger that Guzzi sent me over the YouTube for us to have a look at.
We'll be finding out who's had a top weekend. Some kind of football game was played. I'm not sure what's going on
the
there.
The Thong burglar strikes again. That's
good
news.
Do you look like Kim Jong-il? We'll find out today.
All in.
On Get This and... as Angus likes to say, it's a show with...
nice crackle.
look, we're living on a prayer. It's Get This around the nation. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening. Depends where you're listening. It could be the early hours of the morning if you're on the other side of the world. Mm. But wherever you are, it's me, Tony Martin. It's that man here, Cavalier.
Morning.
It's Richard Marsland.
Armitage.
He can push a button or sometimes two. And what about pushing one for Angus Sampson?
Yes.
How did we get you, Angus? Yes. You're unobtainable.
I am. I got the day off on... I'm shooting a film at the moment.
Yeah, tell us all about it in some detail.
Okay, it's called...
There must be something you can say about Where the Wild Things Are.
Yes, it's based on a picture book. It's an adaptation of a children's picture book from 1963. What was the last thing I said to you, the breaking news? Spike Jones was nice.
He's quite nice.
That's quite nice.
Yeah.
We've Spike's been dining on that for weeks.
That was all over CNN for weeks.
It's a picture adaptation, film adaptation of the picture book Where the Wild Things Are, which was released in 1963.
I'm not
really giving anything away, am I? Maurice Sendak.
Who else is in it? Benicio del Toro. You can't say that. You're not allowed to say anything about whether it's him or not. I hear he's doing your voice.
No, he's not.
Okay.
I don't know if I am allowed to say
Catherine Keener. That's
she
been
is in
the,
it.
Yeah,
Dom DeLuise.
I wish he was in it. I wish he was in it.
Because then there could be some bloopers.
Yeah, a lot of those
under the end credits for ages. That was his catchphrase for many years.
The Muttley laugh. There was also a bit, I got sent this, my friend Sam sent me this, we're talking about Chevy Chase. My girlfriend told me last week that I remind her of Chevy Chase.
Why is that? Because of your incredible back problems.
Which one? Like Funny Farm Chevy Chase?
She loves Funny Farm. But I was thinking about this when I got sent this soundbite of Chevy when... he's in Christmas Vacation and he goes into the shop and there's a buxom woman there wearing a bodysuit and he's like, oh, it's a little nipplier. And she's like, that's because it's cold outside. And he's like, oh, okay. And he says, I'm very hot. And she's like, oh, you've got your coat on. He goes, oh, have I? She's like, would you like me to take something out? And he goes.
Okay.
That's so
his way through it.
And tell us more
that
about
was in the script.
Where the Wild Things Are. I can't remember any. All I can remember from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is Randy Quaid constantly saying, the shitter's bagged
up. Like the shitter's full.
There you go.
Are you sure that wasn't from the first one? Where
No, it's Christmas Vacation.
What about where he goes, she was born without a tongue.
That's the first one. Okay, let's not confuse the vacation movies this early in the week.
It is, Tony. It's a lovely privilege to be able to come in here off the film set. And I do have today off, and thank you for having me in at late notice.
Who is the highest paid actor on television? Want to take a guess?
I would suggest that it would be Bill Cosby.
Is Bill Cosby still even alive? I'm not sure.
Oprah?
No. Actor, really?
Oh, sorry.
One more shot at it.
Okay, hang on.
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen it is. Who would have guessed that?
Sheen Watch.
He's the highest paid actor on television.
What's he pulling down, as
He's
they say?
Earning $535,000 an episode of Two and a Half Men.
But didn't they give a range of how much he was earning? Like, was it like the, I read something that he was earning between $475,000 and $525,000 per episode. And I was thinking, what's that?
That's like 50 grand a joke.
But what, yeah, what's it? What's
maybe
it
some
eps
are better than others.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've watched the show.
No.
No, I'm not even sure where it's on. But I'm assuming it's high quality.
You're talking about television shows. I read about a program that, Tane, you might be aware of, and Ed, I know, definitely isn't aware of. It's called Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Hang on a second. This sounds good. Is this a Britney Spears, you can become Britney for a day kind of deal?
It isn't. It's actually a reality television show that featured ex-one-hit wonders or one-hit wonder performers that started in Britain in 2005.
Beating each other up.
That would be great. And but they actually came out and sang their one hit.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
It was five guests per episode. They sang their one hit and then they sang a contemporary hit as well. So... they had Tiffany on in the first episode.
Let me feel you. I think we're alone now.
Yeah, that and one, it is her birthday today.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, she's probably listening.
and happy birthday, Tiffany.
This one, Bon Jovi's going out to you.
And so she sang her, like they had her, Belinda Carlisle, Howard Jones.
Belinda Carlisle doesn't count as a one-hit wonder.
That's what I'm saying.
Howard Jones, appallingly pirate-panted though he was, he had about seven hits.
Yeah, so they play... This
but
is
that's
the thing
not
that,
right. That blows the whole theory of the show.
Hopeless.
Belinda Carlisle.
There was
Belinda
What Is Carlisle. Love. There what? Was...
Like to get to know you well.
You'd be great as Howard Jones.
No one is to blame.
No one is to blame.
How did that go?
But they would sing their old song and then a cover of a new one. And at the end of the program, you would get the vote would come in from the home audience in Britain and the studio audience in America, which of course they ripped it off or they did their own version. And at the end of the series, you got to release the single of your old hit
again
with
B-side
with
the new hit on the B-side.
Yeah,
wow, who's winning?
Well, the first series in Britain, which is there's only been one series, was won by Shaken Stevens.
Oh, Shaken Stevens,
what did he have?
This Old House, and I think he may have done
You Drive Me Crazy. This is other hit.
You Drive Me Crazy.
Oh, yeah,
there you go.
Okay, is Sir Mix-a-Lot involved?
PM Dawn was.
Yeah.
PM Dawn was in the American one.
See, I don't like it that you've got people who had three or four or five hits
PM
sneaking
Dawn
in.
PM Dawn didn't have five hits.
It should
he
be
had
just,
two.
It should be like those guys that did Sukiyaki. It should just be.
4 p.m.?
There you go.
4 p.m.?
That's your genuine one hitters, not Howard Jones.
What about the guys that sang Freak Me Baby?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I want it, that one.
Let me lick you up and down.
Oh, the New Seekers.
Stop.
They were fantastic.
What were they called? Silk Affair or something.
Silk.
Yeah.
Okay, so this tells us nothing about where the wild things are.
Okay, no, but that's... How's that for a television program? Surely...
I like it.
Surely we could do that in Australia.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Do you not think?
That's not enough to get you...
Tone, you'd count, because your song with The Late Show, Something in the Five...
five in a row.
That's it.
Something in the Five.
That was the earlier version of the Degeneration. We never had it. I think the only song we had on The Late Show was our Viking song, but Kaczynski wouldn't put it out.
What about your Billy Bragg?
Come on. that was about a second and a half. You can't put that. You need longer to be a single.
But you could do it, Tone. If they did the show here, you could go on.
Well, five in a row, which Tommy G and Rob Sitch actually wrote. That was the second highest selling Australian single of the year.
Behind Indecent Obsession.
Behind Indecent Obsession.
No.
That's the punchline.
No.
Sounds good. Did you say the number one was Say Goodbye?
Say Goodbye.
That's it.
But what about their other song, Kiss Me? I love that one.
They couldn't be on the show.
I have to tell you, I got sent an email last night from a guy called Mongoloid Dave. And
Dave?
And it had a bit of me from a program I used to work on called Recovery, playing a character called the Rock Pig, talking about Indecent Obsession.
Wow.
And Molly Meldrum.
And favourable or unfavourable?
I was very fat in it. I don't remember kind of double taking, going, "Who's that?" Oh, it's me.
Let himself go. Oh, it's me. Oh, it's
living
me
up to the Rock Pig standards.
Yeah, I was like, "Have I got a suit on?" Is that, I don't remember the ABC having that in the budget.
Hey, Tony, before it went, but in the next song, yeah, I want you to think about what you do if you're on that show. What's your contemporary hit?
Oh, what, the contemporary?
Yeah, 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 yeah,
that's
yeah,
a great
yeah,
idea.
Yeah. That's what I want to know.
That's a great idea, because it got me thinking when I went to the footy on the weekend. I went to the AFL grand final and Brian Mannix was playing.
Oh, the, and he got you thinking about me. Fantastic.
No, well, of course, he was in your favourite film that I saw you review once, Houseboat Horror.
Oh, he was. He did the soundtrack. Look, there is so much. We're clearly tackling the big issues this week. What have we done? What have we learned? Howard Jones had more than one single.
Pretty decent Dom DeLuise impersonations.
Brian Mannix worked on Houseboat Horror. We're tackling the big ones. Charlie Sheen earns $535,000 a week. Do they just leave it on the dresser? Do you think they do that in cash just so that he feels comfortable with the transaction? There's so much we have to get to.
You waited so long to get back to that joke.
How was the way I double back?
You were holding on to your little piece of paper and we were talking nonsense. Good on you,
Took me about seven stages to get back there.
It was worth it.
Almost indetectable.
I loved it.
Here at Get This. Thank you, New Zealand's Evermore. Here at Get This around the nation. Angus Sampson is with us. And by the way, it's a mysterious day here. It's a public holiday in some states. And of course, our sponsor's gone nuts.
What's happened?
Well, the veto. We love the veto.
Oh, it was all about the veto.
Van of the year. Now it's some kind of the next big thing. And they won't tell us what it is.
Really? I'm going to guess it's a van.
Oh, it couldn't just be a van.
No, okay.
You guys have so many sponsors.
It's so mysterious.
Shocking horror. Another cover-up.
Thank you, Mr. Howard.
It's John.
I have been thinking during the break what I would do. So what's this? The show
So it's called... Hit Me Baby One More Time.
And so if you've had one hit and The Degeneration, I think there was actually two, but they were kind of the same song twice.
Yeah, now I remember that time.
So I would do that, and then on the B-side, a modern song.
Yeah, and yeah, so you have to choose, the example being Shaken Stevens did This Old House.
Yeah.
And then he performs...
Smack My Bitch Up.
Smack My Bitch Up. No, Belinda Carlisle, I know for a fact what she did. What's she did Heaven Is a Place on Earth, and
great
she
song.
Did The Scientist by Coldplay.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd she go?
I didn't see her rendition of that, but she did win the episode, I believe.
Did she?
And then you get to a final, and then
this is a great show.
And then the winner of the final records the single, and
great.
It is released.
Fantastic.
In the States, you don't get to record the single; that you just give $20,000 cash to your charity of choice.
Right. Well, like, I'll do Bootylicious on the B side. Would that be all right?
Would you do a film clip to support it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to have some digital booty dropped in. That could work. What about some of my John Howard rapping?
Yeah, yeah.
If you heard my John Howard rapping. Because we're going to do more of that this week.
I know, I know.
Wow.
A lot of people wanting in on that action.
I can't get into production.
No, I know.
Matty Dow's just head down in the pots and pans, sizzling up some Boytown gear. Every time I want to do something, it's, Boytown have booked the studio.
He's turned on Boytown. I'll see
what is going on?
Boytown's, that's a film, is it?
That's a film. It's an album. It's a comeback.
Yeah.
Isn't it all in the can? Why are they recording more?
I don't.
I want to do some more John Howard rapping. What's your rap name again?
1 Cent.
Of course. Hey, let's go out with some more rhymes. I'll get you going. He's Johnny from the Block. He's the MC with all the clout.
That is really what the economic debate is about.
He's going to kick some ass at the upcoming election.
The fundamental direction is a forward direction.
He's busting some moves. He's spewing invective.
Please let us have a sense of perspective.
He's the dopest of leaders. He's everyone's homie.
I think most of the concerns are phony.
Care to join me for a breakdance, Mr. Howard?
No way, Jose.
He's fluent in the Mexican, John Howard.
I love the pause there where he had, let's get ourselves a sense of direction.
All right, so that's coming out, obviously, and there's going to be so much more from 1 Cent. Later in the week.
He does have the tracksuit down.
Oh, you're right.
You know.
He does. That's true.
He's one medallion away from being ready to go.
And I did see a fantastic photo last week in the paper where a kid was hugging him, got him in a headlock like a 9-year-old. Yeah, did you see that? He got him in a headlock and they've taken a snap. I think it was in the Australian newspaper, and they've taken a snap of the Prime Minister, and he's kind of mid-flinch going as he's being beaten up by someone who hasn't hit double figures yet.
That's
it was awesome.
Right.
Kim Beasley. Have we got any of that Kim Beasley describing him as?
Don't.
He describes him as the master blaster. Seen that?
Is that as in there's booties? Well, you, if you did Bootylicious,
yeah,
and Master Blaster, that's a couple of Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Well, now Kim Beazley describes John Howard as the Master Blaster of blame shifting. Is that right? Have a listen.
That's what I mean about the Master Blaster of blame shifting. When it comes to blame shifting, John Howard is the Master Blaster.
It's not catching
on.
I mean, did you hear much of that over the weekend, Ed?
No.
Well, people just dropping that everywhere you went, the clubs.
There were kids in the street, you know, like homies dissing each other's crews with, you know, the Master Blaster of blame shifting, y'all. And then just people falling about saying they got served.
Sleep deprivation is not torture, according to Philip Ruddock. That is really helping to endear him to the public. Because most people go, he's kind of creepy.
He's creepy.
He's the most disturbing man in Parliament. He needs to do something to soften his image. I know, why don't you tell everyone that sleep deprivation isn't torture?
All right, I'll do it.
I love that Philip Ruddock now.
It was probably the best of the options. Like he said, right, these are the things I want to say. Oh, Phil, you can't say you want to kick puppies, man. That's just not going to work.
But I do, and it's good for the economy.
No, Phil... Oh, look, we're going to go sleep.
Everyone hates puppies, don't they? I do.
No, you do, but you're a creep. And most people like them.
People like creepy, disturbing members of Parliament, don't they?
I'm
beloved, aren't I?
I'm actually going to quit, Phil. I feel dirty.
So what have I got to say that
sleep deprivation is not torture?
But clearly it is torture.
We know that.
He looks a little like the Chancellor from Star Wars.
He does! Chancellor Palpatine!
He does, doesn't
he? You've done it! You've hit the nail
well
on the head!
Well done, Guzzi.
We've been pissing around trying to compare him to some sort of condor or hawk or vulture. But no, it's Senator Palpatine.
Or Joe Pesci with aged makeup on.
It's Joe Pesci and Lethal Weapon 17.
Wow.
That's what it is.
That's incredible.
All right. Okay, what else we got over the weekend?
Yeah, the burglar in thong leaves taped video at scene. Northern Kentucky man wearing only a thong is videotaped himself attempting a burglary, then left the tape behind. Here's the weird bit. The evidence ultimately led to his arrest. Right, here we go. Police said that he broke into a lady's apartment about 3 a.m. wearing only a thong. The woman saw him and he ran away. And he left, he fled the apartment and into a strand of trees near the apartment complex because you can't see a man in a thong hiding in trees. That's the genius of the costume, right? Investigating officers then came across a video camera the burglar left in the apartment and found a home video of his family and then him dancing around in the thong. And then they took it to his house and said, "Is this you?" And he said, "Yes." And they went, "Well, right this way."
Again, this is only for the reenactment.
Was he filming himself? Like, did he have it pointed?
Did he have a crew?
At himself?
No. He's got arm's length, like bit of thong work, and then like just where do you stash the loot?
I don't know, but we're enjoying your little dance.
I'm like, how is he going to get into his own apartment? Back into his own if he's only got, where's his keys? He's just holding the camera.
He's left the house that day. He's going, time to go burgling. Right, what do I got? Sack? Nah, leave that behind. Got me thong. Better tape it. That's quick. I'm good. I'll be back later.
He'd have a secret entrance back into that house. You go down the thong poles into the thong cave. You'd have it all worked out.
You're right, Tone. The reenactment's going to be beautiful.
The reenactment of that
You'd
one's going to be...
You'd be good in that, Armitage. You'd be great as the thong bandit.
Sorry, Angus, we've taken to calling Richard Armitage Shanks. It's too hard to explain. Here's a story from Stupid Crime Files. We missed this. This was a few weeks ago. Our Brisbane listeners will be well across this one. A security guard charged with exposing himself has been convicted of the crimes in the same Brisbane court he was hired to protect. Six counts of willful exposure
six
in the magistrate's
counts.
Court.
Six counts.
The week before.
What did he do?
What's he doing?
So he's showing up at the courthouse and exposing himself. Six times in one week.
Cross-examining himself?
He's doing it in shifts. He doesn't want to, obviously wants to reach a different audience every day. He doesn't want to play to the same punters.
The local county and the magistrates.
And then they've just gone, you're nicked. He's gone, I'll just pop in here. He's one to go on with. Got this. I'll just pop in here, get convicted, and he'll be back in the corridor going about his business in hours.
Six counts. Why didn't they stop him after the first one?
Oh.
Stop it. Nah.
The first one was just, you know, a bit of a laugh.
Right.
By about four or five.
Yeah,
this is getting disturbing
come
now.
On, you.
That was in Brisbane, was it?
Yeah.
A lot of people call that place Bris Vegas.
Mm, or Brisneyland.
We prefer Brisbekistan.
I was going to say I prefer Brisneyland, but I think Brisbekistan is my is the new favourite. They, of course, won the league last night.
Did they?
The rugby league.
Is that in the papers?
Rugby league. They beat Melbourne Storm last night.
Got a thing about Charlie Sheen and bloke exposing himself in court.
Thong. There's nothing about that with the thong story. I don't really know if it happened, Guzzi.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to talk about it. There's didn't feature B. Mannix.
You're right. There has been a lot of stuff happening over the weekend, some of it football-related.
Yeah, you talked about it. I mean, the Hoodoo Gurus, I sat down and managed to see them do something.
Mm.
And,
they pelted one out, did they?
They had women in gold bikini things running around like they were on a hot sand on the...
Really?
I was like, what has this got to do with rugby league?
Everything.
Well, I mean, I haven't watched it for a while, but
it's more interesting than football, though.
Yeah, yes.
Women in gold bikinis running around on hot sand at half time. How did they get the sand in there?
Well, you know,
that's great.
Bust that in. We were quite distracted. I was watching it at a friend's house, but he's got bar stools for up near at his house, and we were playing this game where you have to sit and not touch the floor and swing and like do a full rotation so you can get round quickest.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Football was that compelling.
Hours of fun. Literally hours of fun.
Hang
on, Tone. The trick is to get your hips moving, like in opposition to your shoulders, but then not come back too far the other way.
Wow. Angus's dog is yawning. And Angus's dog is right. Who had a top weekend? That'll be coming up next.
Me.
Get this.
All of Australia are copping it, and they just keep going. And that's all. I've got nothing to say.
For the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz.
Hello, everybody. It's Get This.
Hi.
Around the nation. Myself, Tony Martin, Ed Cavalier. You've got Angus Sampson here.
Yes.
Angus loves to talk voiceovers. Which ones are going around at the moment with you in them?
Well, there's a few, apparently.
A bit of Nissan work I heard from you yesterday, Guzzi.
Yeah, a bit of Nissan. And I think they're still doing the toothpaste one. That's
what do you say there?
Where he goes, toothpaste that's no longer mint or something.
Oh,
or
yeah.
There's something like...
Right, they've moved on from mint, have they?
Yeah, he goes, he's like, it's new. And I'm playing an editor going, I'm into new things.
Ooh.
And the guy says, take your hand off my knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old advertising hijinks. And yeah, I was a little disappointed the Storm lost as being the voice of Storm.
Oh, of course.
Making a big impact.
Oh, well, so obviously the voiceover.
So rich in the cans when Guzzi really lets it fly.
But you're talking about your cheese, you know, what's, you know, sour grapes. Brian Brown still haunts Tony.
You mean with the...
Twisted
Tales. I put my Twisted Tales script up on the internet, my rejected script, and got some great comments.
Jackson, the brother? Jackson, the... That's the cleaner's name, isn't it?
I haven't read it for years. I don't know. Is that what's in there?
Yeah, basically...
Okay. You read it?
Yeah, I've read it. I read it on the internet, Tony Martin's script, which he spent many... Insert time there.
3 days.
3 days writing it. It's a shock jocker in the form of Howard Stern or Ed Cavalier, some would say.
Don't get me started.
Richard Marsden is our shock jock.
Richard Marsden, the right winger. And apparently he has been involved with bringing down a refugee of sorts to this beautiful country, and people hate this man, hate him. I think his name's Crane. Is that right?
C-R-A-N-E,
Crane. And they hate him. They hate him, and his wife hates him, and Crane doesn't like his kid, and he's using her to blackmail. You know, he's sort of threatening. You know, I don't want to have anything to do with the kid. Sure enough, in an attempt to prove that he's down with the new Australians, he invites the radio station cleaner to come in one night and have a chat on air and take some photos. And and he appeases himself for another day. And he's a megalomaniac, egomaniac. Sure enough, the next night the guy goes, "I'll get you a coffee." The cleaner says, "I'll get you a coffee. I'll get you a coffee." And he blacks out.
Yeah.
Wakes up. And sure enough, he's in the complete replica of his radio studio.
Yeah.
And Jackson has incarcerated him inside a concrete wall, barbed wire fence. There was a mysterious guy in a red suit that was never explained.
This is just in the first minute here. Wow. That's what you've got to understand.
Yeah. And apparently, you know, he was locked in there forever kind of thing. The final scene is the mysterious disappearance of Radio Shock Jock Crane, who announced his retirement on air last night and has gone into hiding ever since. What had happened was the cleaner was, in fact, the murdered brother. The brother of the murdered.
See, if
refugee.
I'd pitched it this well, Ian, this would have been.
Sorry, I've
air.
Never ever discussed it before.
This is good stuff.
But it's good that
I read it a while ago, and I've never ever discussed it.
So the great thing is, as Angus is telling it back to me, I'm going, yeah, I can see some of the plot problems.
No, the guy in the red suit.
He was a distraction.
But
he was a furphy.
But did he have like a? Was it like a zoot suit?
I'd like to think it was a zoot suit.
Or with a cape and stuff, or was it like?
I'd like to think it was with a cape because then I could keep it after the show.
Were you going to play it? Were you going to play the guy in the red suit? You write yourself into it.
No, I wasn't going to be in it. I wanted Rod Mulliner to be the main character. Wouldn't he have been good?
I would have. You're talking about the red suit. I was thinking about the guy from Die Hard. The Asian American guy who I think he finds a chocolate bar in Predator 2 and bites a chocolate bar when the...
You've worked with him?
No, but I'm hoping to. Receding hairline. He's kind of like the token evil American Asian
criminal. Because there was Alan Rickman was the bad guy in the first Die Hard.
Yeah, so it was Die Hard 2, I believe.
And then there was Alexander Goodenough. Remember Alexander Goodenough?
Yeah.
Who's he? The blonde hair, the dancer.
Yeah.
Passed
away last year.
I can never hear his name without thinking of the theme from the Goonies. Goonies are good enough.
Good enough.
See, if he'd sang that song more, he would have been a happier person and still be with us.
Still around.
The truffle shuffle.
It's interesting that you mention my Twisted Tale script being rejected, because here's what some bloke's done. He's put his script up on eBay. Someone sent this into me.
That's great.
And it's a rejected script. Like, there were 3,000 scripts sent in.
Yeah.
So this isn't like a script from an actual episode that got filmed. He's put his rejected script up on the
internet. Is there a bid? When's it?
I don't know what the bidding is at the moment, but it says here, how's the way he sizzles it up? You have the opportunity to own and enjoy an authentic Australian short film script, which was submitted to and considered by Brian Brown's Twisted Tales series.
The script that Brian Brown's calling considered...
So what's the deal? You would buy that. You would bid for that. You would have it. And how would you... Okay, you've got it at
you've
home.
You've won it. You've
it's
won
on
it.
The shelf at home.
Yeah, it's on
friends
the shelf.
Friends around.
Yep.
How do you impress them? What's that up there, Ed?
Well, long story. Do you know Brian Brown?
Yes.
Okay, I don't. And essentially what happened was he brought out a television show, right? Twisted Tales?
Yeah.
They need scripts for things.
Oh, yeah, so that's one of the scripts from the show.
Yeah, well, okay.
They filmed that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Okay. I bought it off the internet because a guy's got his rejected.
What, that script?
Yeah.
How much did you pay?
Like a couple of grand.
A couple of grand? And it was never even filmed?
No. So you couldn't film it, though?
Yep. No, it's in
but it was considered.
No,
though,
it's
wasn't.
In a case now. You can't
tell me it was considered.
I've got a certificate of consideration.
So it's just a printout, isn't it?
It's just a photocopy.
It's in a frame.
That's the only copy of
script.
It?
No, there's a few other copies around,
and it was rejected.
Yeah,
but it was considered.
Consideration.
That's considerate,
guys. I'm going to go suck the tailpipe.
That's a tailpipe sucker. That is a full-blown tailpipe
just quickly,
sucker.
I got eBayed at a silent auction on Friday night.
What do you mean? Been auctioned?
No, I got eBayed because I went to the RSPCA ball on Friday night, right? It was totally choice. Right? And there was a silent
auction. The youth of today.
There was a silent auction. There was a silent auction. And there were these tickets, these tickets for the Australian Open to pick up. Come on, Tone. And then you had to write down your bid. So I wrote down, you know, a bid for these Australian Open tickets, a generous bid, you know, charity and all that. And then I was winning. And then like 2 seconds before they went, like collected all the bits of paper, I went outside and there were these two girls like just like kind of loitering around it, right? And I was ahead. I'd been ahead the whole night and they were both kind of hanging around. And then one of them kind of saw me and was like, and then walked off. I didn't think anything of it, right?
Okay, just before we continue, these girls could be dogs at this stage. They actually could be four-legged dogs from what you've said. There's two girls. I'm thinking bitches. You know.
Yeah. Anyway.
They went, which is, could be a growl. They're outside, chained up.
So how did this end up?
I didn't get the tickets. They did that thing where they waited to the last second, beat me by, you know, I bet like a buck or like 10 cents, and then got the tickets and I didn't. Mm. It's an outrage. At a silent auction, you've got to be more like upfront with these things.
I think it's time for music. It was time for music 7 minutes ago.
I can taste those tickets.
What are you playing today?
I don't even care. I'm playing a script that got rejected from the internet.
That's what you're playing right there.
I'm playing Ice House.
Ice House?
I've gone Ice House crazy. I don't even know when my hands are doing it. I've got a synth. I'll probably start singing soon enough. It'll probably be moody. There I go.
Ice House here on Get This Around the Nation. Mm. Angus Sampson is with us. And I've got some actual news here. Prime Minister John Howard has condemned the shooting at a Perth mosque over the weekend, declaring that all Australians have the right to worship in peace. So he says it's wrong for people to shoot at a mosque.
Further proof of how political correctness is being taken to ridiculous extremes.
Oh, that's just today, tonight's view.
Yeah, thanks, Naomi.
We don't support that.
No, we don't.
But we do support climbing this mountain. This Talkback Mountain.
Mm.
What did you do over the weekend? Some kind of football game.
Yeah.
That was going on. People
went. Tell you what.
Yes.
The two games of football, and I sort of dipped in and out of both of them.
Right.
Two things happened at the barbecue I went to on Saturday. They've got an NBA Jam game. Anyone know what I'm talking about?
No.
Samson?
Played it on Friday myself.
Where?
My housemate's got it.
At your house?
Like, yeah.
A stand-up arcade version?
No, but he's got a program called MAME 32, which is 170 arcade games. Oh, I was playing Double Dragon on Thursday, Super Sprint on Wednesday.
Wow.
You remember
so
Super
you're not
Sprint?
Infected with footy fever, Angus.
Talking.
Well, I did go to the AFL game.
No, that's okay.
My favourite bit was when Brian Mannix was
kicked a goal
was
halfway.
He
Mannix, got a jersey.
Mannix went hard at it. Yeah. And there was two bits. Of course, the camera showed him singing Rich and Rare, which with him was Witch and Wear on the national anthem.
Yeah.
But my favourite bit was where they were singing, I think Sean Kelly from The Models was singing, and in between the chorus, the rest of the guys stand back from the mic. So Joe Camilleri and Daryl Braithwaite.
Right.
And Mannix. But Brian Mannix was on the end. He got a little sidetracked and he missed. He stepped back and he missed the step forward to come back in. Don't, down in, out, out. Anyway, I was watching him and everyone else stepped forward and he missed it and he jumped forward. I hear the motion.
Jeans just too tight? Yeah. Could that have been it?
There was a spark.
Delayed reaction.
There was a spark as they ran over one another.
Because the big controversy seems to be anger at foul words.
Oh, this
families
was
watching TV coverage of the AFL Grand Final have seen red over four-letter words used by celebrating Eagles. I can't read any of that out. A lot of it go to air, did it?
All of it. That was the best bit.
Right.
Afterwards?
He's walked up to one of the players and gone, you've done so well, mate. The commentators pretend that they're friends with them. Mm-hmm. He goes, great work, mate, great work. How's it feel? Oh, mate, we effing had an F and F out there and then some F and footy got played and we effing done well.
Just Brian Mannix.
So people didn't have a problem with Brian Mannix?
No.
Did they? Has anyone had a go at the players every year? But every year they have a go at the players not thanking. This is in the AFL. They get the children. They get children dressed in the team's outfit to present them.
Hardly anyone shook the kids' hands.
That's what I'm saying. Every year they have a go.
Snubbing kids and like their little faces. This is the best moment of their life. One guy. He got up there first or second to get his medal. The kid puts his hand out. He kind of looked at him, turned around and gave it like
six shooters.
Yeah, some six shooters to the crowd instead.
Six shooters off the hips. But I actually thought that they were their own children at the start. Do you know, like that?
Maybe they're being introduced to their illegitimate children for the first time. That's nice.
Do you remember your time at the OBH Hotel? last February.
It's me, Dad.
Well, that sounds like a top weekend. I did what I do every grand final. Me and my wife went to the movies on Saturday afternoon. You get the whole theatre to yourself.
Yeah. Anyone's there?
It didn't work again. How many? 5 years in a row of being the only people in the cinema, air conditioned.
Make out city.
You can yell stuff out.
What did you see?
We went to Talladega Nights.
Good idea.
There was four other people in the cinema. It spoiled the whole thing for me. Although I wouldn't have been yelling abuse because I do like Will Ferrell. Gary Cole was in it. He's good.
Gary Cole.
Was Brian Mannix singing before the screening?
No, Brian Mannix. Sacha Baron Cohen is a funny man, isn't he?
He is best. Funny.
When is that Borat movie coming? But it was fairly much a NASCAR film.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I had to pay the price.
Yes.
Yesterday.
What?
I had to go and see a chick flick.
Which one?
I went and saw that Devil Wears Prada.
Ooh, looks like tough going. Oh. Stanley Tucci looks like tough going.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, well, see, they're both quite good actors. And that's what lures you into thinking, oh, maybe it's a film.
Really? Stanley Tucci doing, like, work?
He's doing a bit of mystery.
No,
it's like that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's Corky Sinclair.
Oh, tough gig.
That's what it's full-blown Corky Sinclair.
Tough gig.
But it's basically a Hilary Duff movie.
Ah!
It's a Hilary Duff movie in disguise with adults in it, so you think it's a proper film.
Come on.
Oh, it was a Hilary Duff film.
Tell you what.
It's a big era. That's a schoolboy era.
But it had shoes in it, so, you know, my wife was very happy.
Right.
With shoes and shopping.
Now, how
about... New York and Paris.
Yeah, ticking boxes there.
Because that's where they wear shoes.
He's got it.
But it was a Hilary Duff movie in disguise. It should have been Hilary Duff.
You know what, are you... Sorry, Tony?
No, I'm in shock.
You finished with that?
But you've got some clips from a movie.
Mate, I'm so anxious to get to them. Guzzi Sampson sent me this a week ago. And it's Arnold Schwarzenegger having a top weekend, probably in the 70s, I'd say. 77, judging by the massive guns and outrageous Hawaiian shirts he's sporting.
No.
Right, this is Arnold. He's just like a little short travel doco. They've sent him to Rio for Carnivale. Let's see what he... Let's have a quick listen, shall we?
Tonight, we fly you with host Arnold Schwarzenegger to Rio de Janeiro for a visit to world-famous Carnival.
Rio, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. It's hard to find more gorgeous mountains, beaches, and women anywhere. You know something? After watching the mulattoes shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part. The ass, especially during carnival. The longer I was in Rio, the more I wanted to learn a little bit of the Portuguese language. I think in Belly I found a perfect teacher. I like the Portuguese language because it's so romantic. It reminds me of the Italian language. Can you teach me a little bit about it? Some nice words like love and so.
Amor.
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 Amor. Love.
Love.
I learned one word yesterday. Bunda.
Oh.
Bunda.
What's that?
Bunda. Yeah. You like bunda.
Right. Now that's it, right?
That's quite disturbing.
It's clear that he says he wants to learn romantic words like love. And then he said, I've learned one word, bunga. Right? And then by her reaction and his sort of maniacal laugh, I'm pretty sure that doesn't mean, you know...
Love.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure it's got something... But that's the dovetail for today. What I desperately... Matty Dower and I isolated that line and played it a million times.
Yes.
And then went on the internet to the Portuguese-English dictionaries, because there's many, and we cannot work out what that word means.
Bunga.
Yeah. It's something like that. So for our Portuguese listeners... Please, someone who speaks some Portuguese.
Put the Nando's down
and
give us a call.
Exactly. Shave the moustache and give us.
That'll get him in.
The thing that, that continues on from that tone is he teaches her a word in return.
Mm. Well, what word does that turn out to be?
They're at the table and he gives her a julienned piece of carrot. Mm. And she bites into it and and he goes, chewing.
No, biting. Biting, that's right.
Yeah, biting.
But I wish he would still use that kind of language, you know, in his diplomatic ventures. You know, going to Brazil as governor of California.
Home of my favorite body part, the ass.
Well, I should point out that while that's happening, he's at a nightclub and there's like Brazilian girls like shaking it, you know, like in the full Carnivale costume. And Arnold's in the corner with his guide, this like attractive woman, doing like fingers up to his eyes like he's got goggles on.
Look at all the eyes.
He does. He chases them around. Like he picks them up. He does. Three of them. He grabs three of them by the arse.
Well, he had a top weekend in 1977. Are we going straight to callers?
Yeah, now look, Enrico, are you there?
I certainly am.
Now, do you habla Portuguese, eh?
My parents have only learnt it when I went back for it to visit the Rellos.
Okay, now, it's 9:56 in the morning. Is this going to be all right to say on air?
It is, but it's...
Some states it's later and therefore safer.
Okay,
Portugal, they're using it right now, that word.
Oh, is that right? So let's clean it up a bit. When Arnold says he wants to learn about love and romance and the only word he's learned is bunga, what's he referring to?
Okay, that's a word you use in the very intimate moment when you are reaching a certain point of your lovemaking.
Ah! So you've got to that point and you just throw in a bunga?
Oh, look, I've come to that point right now.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you, Enrico.
Gracias. Gracias.
Thank you, sir.
So if we listen to that again now, he's coming to that certain point, her response, bunga. Yes. Bunga.
Well, I'm glad that's sorted out. What are we asking? Did you have a top weekend?
Yeah. Did you have a top weekend? We invented this game called Branding Ball in an alleyway. You have some wickets, some metal, the metal wickets. Hold them by the top, so you have to swing the heavy base end. Yeah. Someone bowls a soccer ball to you. If you don't hit it past the can that's on the ground, the 9 people that have been armed with wet tennis balls get to brand you.
Wow.
Bunga.
Unbelievable.
Bunga.
Do we have any callers at all? Have we given out the number? 1-3-3-5-3.
1-3-3-5-3. Did you have a good weekend? What did you do on your top weekend?
We've got about 45 seconds left of the program.
Yeah. Oh, here they come. Now, that's Brad, you're first. Hello. Brad, are you there?
Unga weekend, I tell you.
Unga weekend.
I had such an Unga weekend.
What did you Brad? What did you do?
We drank 4 kegs on Saturday.
Whoa. Between how many?
There was about 20, 24.
No, I was going to say just the both of us.
And did you go out or anything? Did you get amongst them?
I went to the pub after that and I couldn't even walk.
There you go.
How are you going this morning?
Sick.
Phoned in sick. Or are you on?
I'm going Sam with a PH this morning.
Oh, right.
Oh, really?
Is it public holiday for you today?
Sorry?
Which part of the country are you in?
In Victoria.
So no public holiday.
No excuse.
You'll be celebrating Mahatma Gandhi's birthday.
And Yom Kippur.
Thank you, Brad. Hello there. Monica, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm excellent. Tell us about your sweet weekend.
Just calling you now because I'm Brazilian and you're asking for that word.
Yeah.
The guy that called you before, he said something wrong, actually.
Oh,
he
really?
Doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, really?
Well, the word is actually not bunga, it's bunda.
And what does it mean?
It means ass.
Oh, so clearly.
Maybe even better, huh?
You have to be careful with your pronunciation.
Yeah. So Enrique's parents.
B-U-N-C-A, bunda.
Have you seen that clip of Arnold in Rio?
Sorry?
Have you seen that clip of Arnold at in Rio?
No.
Get onto your YouTube and type in Arnold in Rio and watch him, just basically groping everyone.
And is Arnold's view of your country an accurate one? Is it the home of the ass?
Maybe.
Thank you very much.
I think we've got time for maybe one more caller.
Brenda, are you there? Brenda? Hello, Brenda. No, Brenda. Hello, Zappa?
Hey, mate.
Zappa.
How are you, Zappa?
Mate, fantastic. I had a great weekend.
What happened?
I was thinking of Tony basically singing a Nickelback track with a Johnny Howard accent.
Oh, now that hasn't actually happened yet.
I like your pants, your hands, your feet. What else did they say?
Like a paperback novel.
Like a paperback novel.
That's it. Sensational, Tony.
That's an exciting weekend.
Thank you, Zappa.
It's time for us to get out of here, Mr. Marsden.
Hey, thank you to all our Portuguese-speaking listeners that called in.
Yes.
That went really well.
That did go surprisingly well. I'll give you that, Ian Cavalier. Thank you for coming in, Angus Simpson. You're straight back to the set of your mysterious film.
Thank you very much, Tony. Thank you, Ed. Thank you.
Pleasure,
thank you, Mars Bar. Thank you, Nikki. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I do love this. This is the greatest radio show that is in existence at the moment on Australia.
Then what do you think our key phrase would be today, Angus?
Home of the favourite body part of mine, the ass.
And we'll be back tomorrow with comedian Craig Eagle. And it's all thanks to Mercedes-Benz and their mysterious
Ooh.
Next big thing. What's that about?
I don't know.